Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in-store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. October 15th through the 19th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's fall warehouse sale, cph.org/warehouse, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, October 15th through the 19th.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and...
We are telling the story of the patriarchs, still in the life of Jacob. Jacob is a deceiver. We've already learned that. And as we look back into Jacob's life and teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, we're going to see a case where Jacob himself is deceived. It is a case of mistaken identity in the course of taking not one, but he ends up with two wives in Genesis chapter 29. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jacob's family in Genesis 29, Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of the radio show Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why are we told the story of, well, in this case, Jacob taking not just a wife, but two wives, one kind of against his will?
Yes. I tell you, I really like two things about the Enduring Faith put out by Concordia Publishing House. That the one point that they make that's very good is that God uses experiences in our lives in order to teach us. And in the situation, specifically to your question, Jacob, of course, had shrewdly deceived his brother Esau. And here we find a situation where now Jacob is being shrewdly deceived by what will become his father-in-law, Laban. He had to run away, of course, from home because Esau was willing to kill him. And when he ran away, he ended up in another area and fell in love with a woman he saw, Rachel, and therefore agreed to work for 7 years to get married to her, but Laban tricked him and had him marry instead the older sister. And the point I really want to make here that I think CPH has brought out, C.F.W. Walther, yesterday I was talking about one of his items that he says in Law and Gospel. He says, it's not enough for a pastor to have faith. It may be enough for a lay person to have faith, but a pastor also has to have the ability to teach the faith clearly. And Walther goes ahead and shows many words that are misunderstood by some pastors and messes things up. So what is happening when we read this? We're not just reading a story about how a man ends up marrying the wrong individual. This is a lesson for him to remind him how hurt comes about when he has deceived others. And it's a lesson for us also. I make a distinction. I told the congregation on Sunday where I was preaching that 95% of the Bible could be understood. But that doesn't mean that you can digest it and know what it's talking about. I mean, you can understand about a shepherd who goes out, finds a lost sheep, puts it on his shoulders, and takes it home. That's understanding Luke 15. But if you then jump to the conclusion that you're the shepherd, Jesus wants you to be the shepherd, to find the sheep, to bring him to church in order to save them, it misses the point entirely. And so what is so important in the Bible, and that's why you do need to attend worship services and Bible studies in order to find out not only what the Bible says in regard to content, but what's the point that Jesus is making. And so a lot of times it's somewhat of a mystery when you read the text and not sure why would God put that in there, like this kind of marriage that occurs. Well, there are some really important points that we need to be looking at.
In the account there, when Jacob first meets Rachel, she's bringing the flocks to the communal well, and he kind of falls in love with her at first sight, doesn't he?
He not only kind of falls in love with her, but it also says that he ends up kissing her. And, of course, he does so because he says who he is, and she, of course, is well aware of the relationships here. But when he does that, he's making a point that, boy, he's willing to do anything in order to marry her. In fact, verse 18, Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, therefore, to Laban, who was the father of Rachel, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And guess what? Laban agrees to that. But at the end of those 7 years, he ends up not marrying Rachel, but the older one, Leah. And when questioned, Laban says this to her, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger daughter before the firstborn. And then he says, we'll give you the other daughter, Rachel, for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. And that's what Jacob does. He serves another 7 years. But the Sunday school material does a good job in showing that this is the Jacob who had shrewdly offered his famished brother Esau a bowl of stew if Esau would give Jacob his birthright. Then, with the help of his mother, Jacob tricked Isaac into giving him the inheritance by putting on Esau's clothes and making his skin hairy, as was Esau's skin, and therefore Isaac mistakenly gave the inheritance blessing to Jacob. And that was a trick. So we finally get Jacob being tricked after 7 years of labor, thinking he was going to marry Rachel. But on the wedding night, he is tricked by giving him Leah as a wife instead. So what's God doing? He's teaching Jacob humility, something that Jacob was not very close to. He was a proud man, and in fact, the word Jacob means to supplant. He grabbed the heel of Esau when the two of them were born as twins, and that's how he got that name. And so he had the reputation of supplanting, taking that which really wasn't his. Now, in teaching a Bible class or preaching to a congregation, you would attempt to make that point that a lot of times we go through what we feel is unfair in the world or something that causes suffering. And the point is, God always has a reason why he is doing that. And a lot of times, it is to teach us not only how God thinks, but how the world really works. This being, of course, the kingdom of Satan.
So this isn't so much about Jacob getting a taste of his own medicine as it is God, in fact, teaching Jacob through these circumstances where he is the victim this time of his kinsman Laban's deception.
Yes. In fact, I think that's an excellent point. I would go so far to say that that's something the disciples had to learn. They were amazed when Jesus was arrested and crucified. It made no sense to them at all. And one of the best examples of that was Saul, prior to his road to Damascus situation. He didn't think anything about Jesus. But then when he received faith and understood the true meaning of the Old Testament prophecies and how Jesus had fulfilled those prophecies, that changed Paul dramatically. And so he was even willing to suffer, as did Jesus, to get just a little bit of the taste of what Jesus had experienced for the sins of Paul and for the sins of the whole world. So there are times when we, shall we say, experience the consequences of our sin. But sometimes we receive suffering not as a consequence of our sin. I'm thinking particularly in John chapter 9, the man born blind. The disciples thought, well, he must have been born blind because of his sin or the sin of his parents. But no, he was born blind so that Jesus could do and teach what he did on the day that he healed that blind man. So there are occasions when we as Christians suffer or experience sorrow that is not of our fault. But God never permits it to come to us without a good reason in his mind. Even a temptation doesn't come to us because 1 Corinthians 10:13, God never allows temptation to come beyond what we're able to endure. That means holding on in faith to Christ. And he even at times provides a way of escape. So the escape for Jacob was that he simply had to work another 7 years to get the wife that he truly loved. And the Bible even says that he loved her more than he loved Leah. And so therefore, we've got a very, very interesting situation that God puts in the Bible to help us to understand why do things happen to us. It could be because of consequence of sin, or it could be just because we're living in a fallen world, but there's always a lesson behind this. That's what parents are always teaching children. Children do something wrong, suffer the consequences of what they did wrong, and that becomes a lesson from the parents to the children so that they're much more hesitant to do it wrong. When parents simply let the children do whatever they want and do not use it as a lesson, well, those children do not become very good citizens at all in the world.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson from Genesis chapter 29, talking about Jacob's family. When we come back, why is it important that Jacob have a wife from his own bloodline? And in the end of this story, out at the end of chapter 29, Jacob ends up with not one, two, but actually, in fact, four wives. We'll talk about that next. This week's auction items are the listener and guest phone system from the Old Issues Etc. studio. You'll find a picture of these items at facebook.com/issuesetc. You can place your bid by calling 618-223-8385 or by sending an email to lynn@issuesetc.org. We'll announce the highest bid on Wednesday, October 14th, and the winner on Friday, October 16th. Proceeds benefit the new studios of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and the Word of the Lord endures forever.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
In the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. And three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com. Pastor Tom Baker is leading us in a Sunday school lesson on Jacob's family in Genesis chapter 29. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale begins Thursday, October the 15th. You'll find dramatically discounted prices on books, music, Bibles, and more. Learn more at cph.org/warehouse. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, October 15th through the 19th, cph.org/warehouse. Tom, why is it important, running behind this entire account, that Jacob have a wife, or in this case, wives, from his own family, his own bloodline?
Because it is a continuation of the promise that God began with Abraham, well, all the way back to Adam and Eve, that through the seed of Eve would come the Savior, and Abraham then became the father of many nations, and Isaac was really, really important here, because it was through Isaac that many nations will be blessed. Well, when Jacob received the wonderful testament from Isaac, then he became the one in the bloodline to the Messiah. So had he never been married, well, that would have been the end of the line toward Jesus. So it's really important that that occurs. And a lot of people don't recognize, we often talk about the 12 sons that came, of course, from Jacob. And we don't realize that those 12 sons actually came from four women. Because what happened, and the CPH material explains this, that in a competition to produce more children for the husband, each wife gave her maidservant to him as well. And so not only did Leah give her maidservant, namely Zilpah, to Jacob to have children, but Rachel also gave her maidservant Bilhah, and she bore a child. And it was very interesting that from the four women, therefore, came the 12 sons, which resulted in the 12 tribes of Israel. And the order of birth, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Now, this is really a wonderful teaching in the scripture that you have this horribly broken family. Everybody's tricking everybody else. Isaac has his wife trick him. Jacob tricks Esau. Esau wants to kill him. Then Laban tricks him. And yet, through all that trickery and sin, the promise of God continues to be fulfilled and moves toward the birth of Jesus when the fullness of time has come. And that's a really important point to make to the children, that it really doesn't matter what is happening in your life. Sorrow or good news, sadness, pain, suffering, God is going to keep his promise to you that he gave you, particularly in the waters of baptism, that through baptism you receive not only the gift of the Holy Spirit, but also the gift of the forgiveness of sins. so that heaven is now your home. And that's why it's really important that as we look what happens to us in our lives, we don't blame God for any of it, but we thank God that through these things, he is teaching us something that makes us be better in our Christian life, where we're more comforted than those who have death in their family and don't believe in Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, yes, Christians weep, but we do not weep as those who have no hope, for the hope that we have is a sure hope. So during all of this marriage and family problems, God is continuing to move. And we really see that in the book of Ruth, where the husbands of Ruth and her friend die, and it looks like it's the end of the line until Boaz marries her, and then the mother is happy again because the line is continuing. Nothing can forestall God's promise or keep it from being fulfilled. Once he makes a promise to you personally, he will keep it. And so it's our task to try and see, what is God teaching me now, regardless of the experiences that we are having at the time?
Should we also note here that in the line of that promise made to Abraham, finally at long last, Abraham had one son, and then Isaac had two sons. Now in Jacob, this promise of becoming a great people is beginning to actually become possible.
Yes. One of my favorite posters from Concordia Publishing House, at the top has the name Adam and Eve, and there's a straight line going down to Jesus, because it's through the tribe of Judah that Jesus comes about. But there are hundreds of names on that chart from the 12 tribes. And of course, you know, 10 of them were taken into captivity by Assyria, 2 of them into Babylonian captivity, allowed to go back to Jerusalem. And so a remnant was kept, and it was through that remnant that God produced the Savior that he had promised. And I tell you, God tells Abraham, you know, count the stars in the sky, you'll have more descendants than that. Or the one that gets me is always the sand on the seashore, more than that. That's why I think that, boy, I don't think Judgment Day is going to come too soon, because there's still a lot more Christians that need to come about since the time of Adam and Eve than we have to measure the number of sand that is at the shore. So everybody has different thoughts on that, but the fact of the matter is we can rest assured in God's promises.
We should note that this is all happening through kind of ordinary human mechanisms, even the competition and the infighting among Jacob's wives, and yet God is still keeping his promise. What are your final thoughts there?
Yes, it actually talks a little bit about this in chapter 30, because Rachel was not bearing children, even though Leah was. And Rachel goes to Jacob and says, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger, verse 2 of chapter 30, was aroused against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? In other words, yes, it looks natural, but those 12 sons God had known would come about through these four women would become the tribes of Israel, and through them would come the Messiah. And Jacob was well aware that he had no power. It kind of reminds us, am I in the place of God, that Joseph said to his brothers, who thought that now, oh, the father is dead, now he's going to kill us. And Joseph says to his brothers, I am not in the place of God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so that's a great faith that Jacob has, not questioning why God isn't giving Rachel children, but finally very happy when she does conceive. And guess who her son is? It's Jacob. And that's in chapter 30, verse 5.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will post a link to Law and Gospel on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series with Pastor Peter Bender on the theological foundation and practice of a Lutheran day school, and we'll discuss media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.